Good morning. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 42 when we get there. We're going to be talking today about building kingdom community. Jesus came. He did his ministry for 3 years. He died on the cross. He paid for our sins on the cross. He rose again from the dead. And then he commissioned his people to go be witnesses for him, starting where they lived in Jerusalem, then moving out to the broader region in Judea, then to another country called Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. 2,000 years later, we're continuing to see the followers of Jesus spread the message of Jesus to the ends of the earth. And the primary reason that Jesus did this was to build a community, a new kingdom community. So in Matthew chapter 16, kind of where we get our name as the Gates Church, Jesus, speaking to his close followers also there, he asked them who they said that he was, and someone said, "You're the Christ, the Son of God," and Jesus said, You did not get this from your flesh and blood, but the Father revealed this to you. And you are the rock, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus said, my church, my ecclesia in Greek, my called out ones that come together. So today we have this incredible privilege of just kind of talking about the community of the Lord Jesus. We get to explore what it means to build community. Because Jesus said, I will build my church. But later on toward the end of his ministry, he would look at his disciples and he would say, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. So as the Father sent Jesus to build his church, he is sending us to build his church with him. So he was here, he started his church, he's the head of the church. There's a sense where Jesus even builds the church today that we will never build the church. But there's also a sense that he calls us to join him in building his church. So let's start out, let's pray to God and ask him to open our minds and our eyes to his truth this morning. God, we thank you so much for the privilege of getting to come into this place and be reminded of the reality that you speak, that you have spoken, that you are building your church, Lord, and you're using us, God, to do that, Lord. So would you just open our minds to your word, and Lord, may our hearts desire the community that you desire. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your son, Jesus, and we thank you for this time we have together. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. One of the most popular video games of our time, in the past few years anyway, is a game called Minecraft. This is said to be a sandbox game, meaning that it's a game where people create things and other people come and see it. It was first released in 2009. It was very popular. It was created by a guy named Marcus Pearson. And actually, in 2014, just a few years after it was created, he sold the game to Microsoft for $2.4 billion. This game has broken another milestone. It actually was the game to have the most attenders at a conference. There was a conference, a big conference put on just for the one game, and over 10,000 people came to that conference. So why is this game so popular? Well, I think it kind of scratches an itch that every human being has. Because in this game, what you do, you are able to get digital axes and digital pickaxes and digital shovels, and you're able to create anything you want. You're able to build anything you want. People build huge temples. People build huge digital virtual reality villages and towns. And people, I think, are really deep within themselves trying to build a perfect, beautiful community. Well, family, what we're going to talk about today is very near and dear to my heart, because this is one of our core values. We usually name it as gathering, but we build community. we build community. A lot of times you'll talk to people and they're searching for the perfect community. They're searching for the perfect place where they have great relationships. They're searching for the place where their relational needs can be met. But Jesus has given us the church to do this, but he has given us the task of building community. So if you have your paper, you can see this one-liner that I really want us to kind of get in our head and think about is this: community is not found, community is built. Right? You don't just find a good friend, you make a good friend. And to make a good friend, you have to be a good friend. You build relationships. You build community. And so just like Minecraft, where you build all these different, you can build all these different things with digital shovels, digital things. What are the things that Jesus calls us to use? What are the tools and resources that we have available to build community together, to build the church, to build his body up? So we're going to look at four things this morning, and we're going to take a look as we look at this incredible passage in Acts chapter 2, where Jesus has empowered the people to preach his message. There was maybe about 30 or 40 people gathered in a room praying, and then there was a sermon, and then 3,000 people came into the church. And then we pick up here in verse 42. And so this is the they. It's all these people, over 3,000 people, devoted to Jesus. Look at what it says in verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. So what are our resources? What are our tools to build community? The first thing that we want to look at is that the major tool that we have is the gospel. It says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And I choose the word gospel. This is one of our core values. We want to get the good news of Jesus straight in our mind. We want to understand who Jesus is. We want to understand why it is that Jesus came. John said John the Baptist said that Jesus came to take away the sins of the world. So he primarily came as one that brought good news, and the good news is that no longer would we be separated from our God because of our sins. No longer would our Creator be so distant and far away from us because of our rebellion. But Jesus would come in and be the sacrifice for our sins. He would take the punishment that we deserved on the cross so that we could be close to our God. And what we'll find, family, that a big part of the gospel, a big part of the good news, isn't just that you get God, but it's also that you get his people. And a lot of times, receiving God, receiving the presence of God, a relationship with God, really is felt through his people. So we are the people of God, and we build his community by diving into the good news of Jesus, diving into the gospel. So it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. So in 1 John chapter 1, one of the apostles just kind of breaking out the teaching that we're seeing here in chapter and in verse 42. He says this: that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also. So these apostles, they saw Jesus, they saw his death, they saw his resurrection, and now we hear the message through their words in Scripture, the gospel. So that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you, and here it is, that you may have fellowship with us. So there's a sense of getting into something. This Greek word koinonia is a powerful word, almost like people who were strangers quickly become family. And they treat each other with love and kindness, and they build each other up. They encourage each other. They point each other toward the good news, the hope of Jesus, the gospel. So we're all about the gospel. We build the community, the kingdom community of Jesus, with the gospel. And this leads us into a fellowship. So 1 John, it says, we proclaim the gospel to you, that you may have fellowship with us. And it continues, it said, indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his son, Jesus Christ. So a lot of people feel like the church, the people of God, can be separated from God himself or Jesus. But John is saying, no, the fellowship includes both. It includes the Father, the Son, and the church, and the bride, the people of God who are following Jesus, loving the gospel, seeking the gospel. They're this fellowship that you get together, kind of like a club, but not. So some of us have maybe been kicked out of clubs. Some of us have maybe been kicked out of groups that we've joined, or maybe there's groups that we could join that we could that we can't join because we don't have the credentials, we don't have the wealth, we don't have the celebrity that's needed to be in certain role in certain squads, role with certain groups of people. But the gospel is the door way by which we enter into this incredible eternal kingdom fellowship, this community, this koinonia. And just here in the early church, we see these things that kind of are products from being in the fellowship, diving into the good news of Jesus, listening to the apostles' teaching. There's some things that follow here in verse 42. It says that they broke bread. And today, we're going to do this. We're going to break a piece of bread in half. And what that points to is this meal, this family meal that the Lord Jesus prepared and did with his disciples, where they ate bread and they drank wine, remembering that Jesus gave his bread, his body, to be broken on the cross. God stepped into a body, and he gave himself on the cross to be payment for our sins. And so we have this memorial meal. We call it the Lord's Supper. We call it communion. We call it several things. But we're going to see several times in this passage that these folks were continually doing the Lord's Supper. And breaking bread also just kind of means that they were eating together. And I think that they often had bread and they're like, hey, let's do the Lord's Supper. So they were breaking bread. It also says because of the gospel, they were devoted to the prayers. They were praying because they knew that the gospel taught that Jesus has removed the wall of separation between us and our Creator. In fact, Jesus taught that you could pray to God like he was your Father because he was your Father. Because he is your Father, but he's only your Father when you trust the Lord Jesus with all your heart. Give your life to him and the Holy Spirit. It says that we are spiritually adopted by God and we become children of God. And so we can go to God and we can ask him for things. We can pray to him. We can worship him. We can celebrate him. And the gospel leads us to do this in our fellowship. So it said that awe came upon every soul. I mean, verse 43, it speaks of the fact that people had this newfound beauty for God that they shared together, and they were in awe, they were in amazement, they marveled at the beauty of the God who would send his son Jesus to die on the cross for us, who loves us so much that he would give himself for us. They were in awe, and it says many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. People were healed miraculously. The blind saw. There were miracles that happened that people got out of jail in the midst of persecution. There were incredible things that followed. Sometimes people would be healed just by touching the apostles' clothes. So there were these incredible signs, but the most incredible sign that kept happening was that thousands of people in the first weeks of the church, their hearts were transformed. The Bible talks about our hearts being made of stone, naturally, being composed of stone. And when the gospel was heard, their hearts became flesh. And they heard and they believed the gospel and their lives were changed. And as the Gates Church, this is the miracle that we're going to see. Maybe people will be healed. I think God is still in the healing business. He is still a miraculous, miracle-working God. But I think the great miracle that we're going to see over and over again, our prayer should be, is that we see people come to know Jesus and accept him as Savior and have their heart transformed. So we first of all build this community, it's so important, with the gospel. And secondly, we build the community with caring, sharing, and meeting the needs of others. I heard a great story come out of a small group. We have something called life groups, and they're really important about community. And I want to encourage you to get involved in a life group. We have them on Thursdays and Saturdays right now. One on Thursday, one on Saturday. I encourage you to come and be a part of that. It's a place where you can become known and you can really get into a community. But there was a small group I heard about, and a single mom, she lost her car. I think she had a wreck and totaled her car. Her car was gone. She couldn't drive it, and she couldn't replace it. And so she was sharing this with the group and just wanted them to pray that somehow she could find the money to maybe borrow the money to get a car. And after the group, except for this single mom who needed a car to get her kids to work and, I mean, get her kids to school and so that she could get to work, they got together and they said, you know what, can we come up with enough money to buy this lady a car? And so like a day or two passed, and boom, they had collected enough money and they bought her a really decent car and just gave it to her. That's kind of crazy, right? I mean, that's like a family. Well, only family does stuff like that for each other. Well, here's the thing about the gospel family. We're not just like a family. We are a family. And so you see the disciples, they build community by caring, sharing, and meeting the needs of others. Verse 44, let's read it. And all who believed were together. They were knit together. They were unified. They were one. They had this common goal of the gospel and of caring for other people and of loving others and of sharing this message that Jesus had entrusted to. They were together. And it says this, they had all things in common. Well, what's that mean? It means they were sharing. It means that if somebody needed something and somebody else had it, they got it. And it says they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Just in a few verses in chapter 3, there's a man that hears the gospel, loves Jesus. He may have even known Jesus. And he actually sells all of his real estate and just gives it to the church because he believes in what the church is doing. I mean, when it comes to resources, family, we need to be sure that we're being faithful and we're receiving all the joy and benefits from being generous with our resources and investing them into what God is doing. So we do have a joy box in the back, and you're welcome to give to that. And we want to use that money to further the community, the kingdom of Jesus, to meet others' needs, to care and to share with others. So you see this beautiful concept in the New Testament that we really need to latch on to, that we need to be aware of what others are going through. We need to know others' needs. We need to be able to meet those needs when it's appropriate. We also need to spend a lot of wisdom because we of course can't pay everyone's bills, but we want to be available. We want to be able to help others. We want to be led by God and how we use our resources to care for one another. And basically, we just need to understand that Jesus has called us to be a family to each other. So we build the community of Jesus with the gospel, and we build the community of Jesus with caring and sharing and meeting others' needs, right? So also, we build the kingdom community of Jesus with gathering. This is one of our core values. So I'm really excited to preach this sermon. I think this is a really important sermon because this is a sermon that really helps us define what is the church. Some people say, well, the church is a building. You know, the church is the preacher and maybe some of the leaders. But no, what the gospel teaches is that the church is the people that are called out by God to be the community of God. And a really important aspect of church is that it's a community that gathers together. We get together. We meet together in several different ways. First of all, I think there's big gatherings like this. We gather big. We may not feel as big as we'd like to feel today, but God is working, and we want to see this become more and more a big gathering where a lot of people are hearing the message of Jesus and getting hope from Jesus. There's also small gatherings. These are, we call them life groups. It's a time where we do life together and we experience the life that Christ gives us. So we gather in smaller groups where we can build community and grow in relationships. But I think there's also there's kind of a micro level of gathering where maybe you gather with just one other person. And you know, something that I say all the time is that it's all about just showing up. A big part of the gospel ministry, a big part of the church, of gathering, is just showing up. Just showing up. Jesus will do the rest. But Austin, what am I going to say? Just show up. How are we going to afford it? What about all the bills I have? What about all the stuff I have to do? Just show up. What about I'm scared? What about all these things that I have, these excuses? They go on and on. Well, just show up. Because we know a lot about life is just being at the right place at the right time. I heard this incredible story about a couple that I guess had a private plane, and they were flying somewhere near their house, and weren't very high, so they went near their house and they could see their house, and they noticed that there was a big truck in their driveway that they did not recognize, and it was a thief making off with a trailer full of valuables that they had. And so they was like, hey, there's my house. Oh, that is our house. Who's that stealing our trailer of stuff? And so they got in closer, and they called the cops from their airplane, right? And they told the cops what was going on. Someone was stealing a trailer at their house. So they watched the cops come, and they could see where they were because they were so high in the air, and they were telling the cops where the perpetrator was stealing their trailer. And so the cops got the guy, arrested the guy, and this couple got their stuff back, no problem. They were at the right place at the right time. But what if I told you that this couple got up in the air weekly? Maybe even every other day they got up in their plane for whatever reason. They were putting themselves in the right place at the right time. And family, we want to be at the right place at the right time. But what that takes often is us to just get devoted and persistent at showing up and letting God do the rest. Just showing up and letting God do the rest. So let's take a look at this in verse 46. So here it is. You see it? Day by day, they were attending the temple together. And day by day, they were attending the temple together. So were the early Christians Jewish? Well, yes and no. I think they went to this Hebrew temple system because this was God's institution of worship. This was the place to go and worship God. This was the place to go and even learn about God. They, of course, realized that there was no more need for the temple in terms of sacrificial system because Jesus was once and for all the great sacrifice that took away our sin. So they went to the temple to talk about Jesus, to study Jesus, to be witnesses about Jesus. And they went there every day, day by day. They went to the temple together. They went to like the big worship. And then look at the smaller thing. It says they were breaking bread in their homes. Again, this points to meals together, and it points to the theological family meal known as the Lord's Supper that Jesus has given us. And we're going to take this at the end of the service, by the way. And this meal, again, it is for believers, those who have trusted Jesus, who understand that his body was given for us on the cross, that his blood was shed for us on the cross. But they're doing this over and over again in each other's homes. And I love how we are right now as a church. We're getting together in each other's homes. But I want to give you a challenge. Here's the big challenge when we think about gathering. You know, there's the big group, the small group. But I want to encourage you also, every day, every single day, is there somebody you could call? every single day? Is there somebody that you could get together with and you could gather with? Maybe even a lunch or a breakfast, or maybe just dropping by or meeting up for coffee every day. Or maybe it's just getting on the phone with somebody and saying, "Hey, brother, how's your walk doing? Hey, sister, how are you doing? Do you remember the gospel? Do you remember the good news of Jesus? I know your week's been hard. I know you're going through difficult things, but do you know that God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross, to rise again, to ascend into heaven so that he could make us family?" Just show up. Show up, cement. Now, I keep talking about showing up. Now, I want to say this. Be careful. If you come to my house in the middle of the night, I'm probably not coming to the door. Unless you really, really have something you need, don't show up in the middle of the night, right? I don't mean just kind of show up out of nowhere anytime, but I do mean, what does it intentionally look like for us to day by day with consistently gather with other people, connect with other people, show other people the beauty of God, remind them of the awe, the beauty of God, remind them, pray with them, right? Remind them of the signs and the wonders, the things that you have seen God do in your life. You've seen God do in their life. How do you connect with somebody, and how do we learn and understand the needs that people have? How do we care? How do we share with other people? This is what it means to gather as the people of God. Let me read this verse from Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. This comes out of the New Testament church as they gathered. "And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So what does it look like? What does it look like? Here's the challenge. Because you reach out to someone every single day for their sake and for your sake. You need to be reminded of the gospel too. You need to be reminded that God cares. You need to be reminded that God has cared for you through his cross. And you also need to be reminded that others care about you. What does it look like to connect with someone every day? Gather with them, not just your wife, not just your family, but somebody, maybe somebody that's a stranger now. How do you build that relationship around the gospel, around needing and caring for each other, around gathering? And then number four here, we build community with a passion for God. So how do we fuel this thing? We need energy to build a community. We need stamina. How are we going to stick to our guns? How are we going to continue to push forward and build community with Jesus? How are we going to build the church with Jesus? What's going to be our fuel? And this is what we're saying. It's a passion for God. A passion for God's glory. We already talked about how the church was in awe of God. I mean, they had a newfound appreciation for his beauty. And so, family, we tap into that. We tap into seeing the glory, the intense wonder of our God. And we realize that his glory is intensified and added to when we find unity, when we find community together. There's a way that you can, with just a little money, begin to invest in wild ideas. There's a thing online called group funding, which is basically there's several websites you can find out about people. They have ideas of starting businesses, creating new products, and you can just kind of get into a system where you donate maybe $2 to thousands of dollars. And so there's this one story I heard of a man who he got very passionate about caring for the environment, which is important. Reduce, reuse, and recycle. And we're all for that. This is the earth that God gave us. We want to take care of it. And he had a great idea. He wanted to, instead of bikes made out of metals and stuff like that, he wanted to create bicycles made out of cardboard. Cardboard bicycles. kind of became his passion. So his idea was that where he lived, a lot of bicycles would be stolen. But if you made a bicycle that was really cheap, maybe it wouldn't hurt as bad when it was stolen. And also, it was less enticing to steal because it wouldn't be worth much money. So he found a way to make a bicycle with cardboard. It wasn't all cardboard, but it was pretty cool. And he went to investors, and he tried to find loans to start this company and make a bunch of bicycles and try to sell these cardboard bicycles. And no investors wanted to do it. Right there, like, no way, that's crazy. So he got online in one of these group funding thing and raised millions of dollars because people really thought it was a great idea. And so he got all these other people on board with cardboard bicycles. And as I read this story, I thought, man, this is an ambitious guy. I mean, he's got this idea, and he's sticking to it, and he won't stop until he sees it through, and he did. And it's a really inspiring story. He's experiencing some success with cardboard bicycles wherever. Maybe one day you and I will be riding around cardboard bicycles and remember this day that Austin talked about it. But this ambition is inspiring. But here's the truth. God has given us all ambition. He has given us all drives to do incredible things, and it brings him glory to do it. I think cardboard bicycles could bring God glory. But ultimately, one thing that we do that's a shame as humans is we neglect the main ambition in our heart to direct everything toward the Creator. Right? Like, we live for glory. We live to see incredible things achieved. But so often, we miss our God-given purpose of glorifying our Creator with ambition. Do you have the ambition to glorify your God? Because if you have the ambition to glorify your God, if you have the passion for God to be seen as the most weightiest, valuable thing, man, that's going to fuel us building community together. Because if we get passionate, if someone gets passionate about cardboard bicycles and thousands of people get involved financially, and now there's going to be cardboard bicycles, just imagine if you get passionate about seeing God to be beheld in the beauty that He is. People are going to get involved. Let's look at what I'm talking about in the text here. Verse 46, it says, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. So they're thanking God for their food, and they're realizing that God has given them food to be generous to other people, to give other people food. So we want to continue as the Gates Church to be people that are generous, people that are glad about what God has given us. In verse 47, it says that they are praising God. They're praising God. I mean, they're seeking to draw the attention and the focus onto the God who created all things. And it says that they were praising God and they had favor with all the people. I mean, there is something incredible happening. People are starting to really get involved in what they are doing. Look what it says, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved, those who were being rescued by the gospel. So we could all go and we could buy Minecraft, this video game, and we could build elaborate, awesome things. I mean, we could get together a bunch of cardboard. We could make cardboard bikes and maybe make some money. We could start a business together, and it could be all about money. I mean, we could be driven. We could do some things like that, and maybe God would call us to do some things like that. But I want you to know, the most incredible thing that you could ever give your life to is building the community of God, the kingdom community of God. And what are the tools that we need to do that? Well, it's the gospel. It's knowing that Jesus was sent for you, that the Holy Spirit draws us to Him, and He shows us who Jesus is and makes us sons of God. It's the gospel. It's caring and sharing for others around you. You know that builds community. You know, being a good friend helps you create good friends. Building the community with gathering. What is one one time a day that you can find a way to build community with one other person. And then we build community fueled. We fuel our passion to build community with a passion for God. We're glad in God. We're praising God. And we'll see people drawn to that. So family, let me say it again. Community is not found. We have to work hard for community. You have to build much for community. You have to sweat and cry and be and show up a lot to see awesome community. But I know that God has called us not to find community, but to build community. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the work you're doing in our life. We thank you for the community that you're building among us. And Lord, we pray that your passion would fuel us to build your community more. Lord, we're asking you to give us a vision for how we gather. We gather big, we gather small, we gather personally. How do we care for each other, Lord? How do we stay focused on the good news of Jesus? How do we grow more and more in love with the gospel? Lord, help us do these things as you seek your glory and our good, and you call us to build community. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.